And everyone else, when they say Greeks, they mean everyone else, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none. The booth man probably wondered why I hadn't turned mine on. There it is. But you all heard me, right? I was sure of that. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is open, is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Got that? No fear of God. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, having witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, by all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, will anybody raise their hands who has never sinned? Okay, we're in agreement. We're all sinners. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. We don't deserve any of that. Because why? Because we are on our own sinners. On the day of the crucifixion, Jesus Christ would have been righteous to have come off that cross and massacred all of humanity. That very day, that very hour. But thank God he didn't. He didn't. But God is righteous. Yes, I know we like to preach about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's great and should be preached about greatly. But we also ought to preach about God's righteousness. And so God has already said what happens to sinners. What they deserve under his righteousness is there, and except for his grace, we would all be deserving of that. But how often do we remind ourselves? Revelations chapter 20, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. warrior, he said, it was the lake of fire that was prepared, not for you, not for me, but we deserved it. It was the lake of fire prepared for Satan himself and the Antichrist. You know, in my reasoning, you know who would be the first one to be in the lake of fire? It'd be Satan. You know, right? No? Was he? No. The Antichrist goes first. Man goes into the lake of fire first. But I want us to understand where we would be and where our neighbors are and where the majority of Americans, as well as those in all the overseas areas of the world, to where we send missionaries, where, folks, what is their future? It doesn't matter what religion they are, because don't forget, and don't let anybody tell you that Christianity is a religion. It's not. It's a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. Luke shows us what happened to the rich man after he died. He was in a place, and it was miserable for him. So much that he would have paid all that he had for just a few drops of water on his tongue. He was miserable. He was not in the lake of fire. Folks, the poor man that begged out in front was in Abraham's bosom. So in death, for those who are still sinners, they can expect what the rich man got. The beginning of paying the price of their sinful life. Just the beginning. Folks, that's not the ending. The ending comes after the great white throne judgment, which was the last phrase that I read to you from Revelation at the end of that. The lake of fire that never ends. It burns forever and ever and ever. What was taken away from the rich man? What did he no longer have any possibility? He already found out that all his material things were not going to give him a better future. He had lost, because of his lack of faith, he had what? Lost hope. He had no more hope. When you're in pain, now you're in pain. I know what it was with my wife. I haven't suffered the pain myself, but I saw her. And it wasn't always easy. But we had the hope. It was only going to be temporary, like everything else in this life. We had hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope forever. But those who don't understand and aren't told about Jesus Christ have no hope. Oh, I know some young guys that like to proclaim, oh, well, I'll be there in hell will not, and I'll be drinking and enjoying my buddies in hell. No, you won't. Because that lake of fire is like burning sulfur. I took biology. They made the mistake of burning sulfur one day, and I found out what it's like. Pitch black. Sulfur eliminates any sight. It's pitch black. The only thing they have in the lake of fire is perhaps the sound of others screaming and howling because of the torment that they have, and they have no hope and no way to get out of it. We are only given this life by God's grace to get out of it by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I can't express what the worst torment that you can think of. The worst condition in this life that you can think of doesn't come by comparison to what the torment of hell, the lake of fire. Because it's eternal, there's never going to be any getting out of it. There's no medication. There's no anything to alleviate it. It is forever. And you never get used to it. And you have no hope. No hope. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to miss that. And we sing His praises because of it, and honestly, we should. Trying to understand what that is like trying to understand the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. I went and saw Mel Gibson's The Passion. Anybody else see it? Pretty horrible, wasn't it? But what he couldn't put in there, what he couldn't demonstrate, is the what? The death of God. The death of Jesus Christ. When he said, "It is finished," it is finished. The clouds came in, the lightning struck, the veil was separated by that lightning from top to bottom of the Holy of Holies, because now you had access. But when he said it was finished, the bond between God the Father and God the Son was broken. Because that's what death is. It's a separation. For the world, the physical death, they think it's a separation forever, and it is. For us, it's not. I struggle with the thought because I didn't share with somebody that the Lord was leading me to share. I committed the sin of silence. And now I have to remind myself, will they be there instead of with me in heaven? You know, in the 21st or 22nd chapter. I'm not quite sure which. It says God wipes the tears from their eyes. From all his children, he'll wipe the tears from your eyes, and there'll be no more crying there. But I'm telling you now, we are going to see the white throne judgment, though we aren't subject to it. We are the witnesses in the court. As I see someone judged, because I didn't tell them what Jesus has done for me, I'm going to cry. I know I'm going to cry. There's going to be a lot of crying on that day. Not just those that were judged and find out they're going into an eternal fire where there's pain forever the rest of their lives. That suffering is the rest of their existence. But I'm going to cry for them. And I'm going to cry for my failures. You see, I'll never be judged for my failures. I'll go before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ doesn't judge you for your failures. It only judges you for your successes and following his will for your life. Of being willing to walk with the Holy Spirit in your life and listening to the Holy Spirit prompting you when to do and what to do and how to do. And not be, as we read in Sunday school, in the passages that Bill read in Sunday school, especially all of you didn't hear that one, but where, you know, it said this, those who turn away from Christ have had their conscience seared. By saying their conscience is seared means they're no longer what? Able to hear and sense the Holy Spirit in their life because it's not there. And even if the Holy Spirit speaks to them, they won't hear it because their conscience has been seared by their previous decisions. Our life is full of decisions, aren't they? Buy that extra scoop of ice cream? Or stomp on the toe of my neighboring worker who keeps yelling at me? Full of decisions. And accepting Jesus Christ is the most important decision for eternity. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says we have faith, hope, and love, right? When I see the Lord, I won't need faith. I have reality. I see the Lord, I'll no longer need hope because I'll have the reality. So the only thing that's left that is eternal is love. I see people who have had terrible lives and led themselves in bad decisions and etc. and they're involved in all kinds of sins in their life and long attitudes, and they have anger instead of love in their life. And I feel sorry for them. Sorry for them. Because they have really nothing in terms of eternity. And after the judgment seat, they'll still have nothing except the wrath of God. They didn't have the fear of God in this life. But when they're standing before that judgment seat and see Jesus Christ sitting on it, they will understand the fear of God. The fear of God. So let us not forget. Let us never forget that God is a loving God, yes, but He is also a righteous God. And His judgments are forever. Oh, He'll give you some judgments now in this life when you made the wrong decisions. Some people say, well, I kicked myself in the seat because I made the wrong decision. I discovered that I did. But you still suffer what? The consequences of it. I'm fortunate. I didn't live a rebellious life. I accepted the Lord at the age of 8. And I'm now 83. 83's. 75 years of living with the Lord and the Holy Spirit in my life and praising the Lord for it. I'll be like Polycarp. And they finally arrested him and they put him on the stake and they're about ready to set it on fire. And he said, deny the Lord and we'll let you live. And he said, I cannot deny that which I have lived 70, 80 some years with and have had his life in myself. I cannot deny. But yet, you can deny them. With the sin of silence. With the sin of silence. God didn't save you to come and worship in this loving church, which it is. God didn't save you to warm those pews up or to get up and shout your praises. That isn't why He saved you. If He saved you for those things, He could take you to a better place and just take you as soon as you're saved and go right to heaven. And boy, you don't have to put up with anything more in this world. But that's not the purpose. You're here to serve Him. You're here to do His work. You're here to tell everybody that you can that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's the only way that you can escape that fiery wrath of God forever. I'm happy to see this church building, to see these people here. And I'd like to see every one of these pews filled because the Lord draws them here. I'm happy I had some small part in that. But I'm more happy that I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And you know what? Even though I don't know all your names, I will when we meet in heaven. How do I know that? Because I know that John, James, and Peter at the Mount Transfiguration had never met Elijah or Moses. And yet they knew. Oh, we need to build a temple here for Elijah, and one here for Moses, and one here for you, Lord. How did they know that that was Elijah? How did they know that that was Moses? I wouldn't recognize him today unless God returned it in my head. I know I'll recognize every one of you as my brother and sister and the love you have for the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. I'll have a better memory there than I have here. And I appreciate the testimonies that you shared this morning. I've been in many churches, larger and smaller. You ask for testimonies and it's silence. Folks, don't be silent. If you can't testify here, how are you going to testify out there? Encourage one another. That's what the scriptures say. And praise the Lord, you have one another, as well as the salvation of the Lord. Your decisions mean something, and I'm going to get political. You see, that says sanctity of life up there. If you and your votes either fail to vote or don't vote against those that want to murder babies, you're wrong. You choose. You have the responsibility to choose men and women of God, like the ones who, what, made our Declaration of Independence, made our Constitution, made this nation, and went out and fought and died and still do today. Our freedom to worship is not free. Somebody pays the price. Ask the girl that you brought up this morning how it is in the country there. Ask her personally. Why she hasn't been in the church while she's there. You are Christ's representatives in all the choices you make. And I'm not saying somebody can't make a mistake. We all make mistakes. But Jesus Christ already paid for them. All he asks is that we what? When we know them, that we what? Repent. We turn away from them and say, I won't repeat that again, Lord. Forgive me. And he will. How precious is the love of our Savior. John, I'm going to bring you up to close it. Because I would, in normal situations, I would be saying to you, let's have a song of invitation. And those, if there's anyone here that is being emphasized, the Holy Spirit is working their lives and drawing you to accept him as Lord and Savior, do it today, because you don't know what's tomorrow. If there's anyone here who feels that the Lord is leading them to join this congregation of believers that have all of these as your brothers and sisters in the Lord to work together for him for larger purposes than just the individual ones, do it today. You don't know what tomorrow is. And then for those who have warmed the pews for year after year after year, or maybe only for the last 6 months, or maybe only a couple of months, but all you've done is warm the pew. And you know I've committed, you say to yourself, the sin of silence. I have not listened to the Holy Spirit when he tells me to work in his kingdom. And you want to repent of that today. Again, you don't know about tomorrow. You can only know about your decisions today. John?